Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
4:56 to play, first quarter. Lakers in front 17-10. But Lou Williams will go to the free throw line to shoot one.
It is an unsuccessful challenge. However,
so the Lakers challenged that call. This is one new rule this year. It's an experimental trial run for this one season. The coach's challenge. It was unsuccessful on the foul, but the continuation was actually taken away. So now it's actually going to be a side out of bounds. They get it in for Williams, and now Beverly is going to be called for a personal foul away from the basketball, setting a screen. So take the 2 points off the board for Williams. 17-8, the score is. Lakers in front. As Vogel challenged the call, he lost a timeout as a result of the failed challenge. Howard still called for the foul, but the continuation was taken off the board. Interesting. Very interesting.
Did you get all that? Did you see that? If you watch that Lakers game, know what I'm talking about. First quarter, I didn't even know they were doing this. Coaches, challenges, and replay on fouls.
I can't tell you how much I hate this already.
On basically everything.
I didn't see this last night. I didn't know this was in place.
It was Lou Williams, I think, driving to the rim. Dwight Howard behind him sort of jumps straight up in the air, barely grazes him. They call a foul on the floor. And Frank Vogel, the coach, challenges it. So, oy vey, what? Challenges it? Yep. They've instituted this for this year. Coaches' challenges. I guess what you do is you call the timeout. I didn't see this in real time. I just sort of caught it on the back end. I caught up with it. You call a timeout, and then in that timeout, they review it. And if you win, I guess you keep the timeout, and if you don't, you lose it. On this particular one, as you heard the guy explain, they kept the offensive foul on Howard, but in the course of the replay determined it wasn't a shooting foul. So they gave, it was a personal foul on Howard, so right. But a side out, and you heard what happened. On fouls in the NBA, Maz. On basketball fouls.
So the challenge was to have the guy go to the line?
Basically? No. The challenge was by the Lakers to wipe out the foul entirely. And by the way, it should have been wiped out. Howard barely touched him. The one I saw, the angle I saw, Dwight Howard barely touched, just jumped straight up and just sort of brushed him in the back. So Vogel, the Lakers coach, Maz, challenged it to get the foul reversed. They kept the foul, but they changed the nature of it. So he lost the challenge, even though it became on the floor versus shooting. Again, you want to blow your brains out, right?
Yes, my head's going to explode.
Yes.
I believe you only get one coach's challenge per game.
Whether it's right or wrong.
And it's right or wrong. And you have to have a timeout to be able to do it.
Yeah, it's one too many.
Can you imagine that they're doing this?
Oh, gosh, again, this is pass interference comes to the NBA.
Worse.
So I love, too, hearing the announcer say, well, they're doing it this year on an experimental
Right.
What? You're using the regular season now as some sort of laboratory? Can you do it in the preseason or do it in the All-Star game? You got to experiment with it in the regular season? Who came up with this stupid-ass idea?
Adam Silver.
Everybody, the world. I'm telling you, I keep saying this. It's the slippery slope of replay. We keep adding more to try and correct problems versus just accepting the fact that sometimes they blow the call.
But to have this on blocking and charging fouls, it's just... It doesn't make any sense.
Unless I have this wrong, I don't even think it's block charge.
It's any type of foul.
It's any type of foul.
Then whatever it is, it's just something else that's going to gum up the works.
I mean, again, I was watching some of it last night. Kawhi Leonard had this great block on someone going for a dunk. Maybe it was Dwight Howard. And it was a great block, and they let it go, but he got a lot of hand in there. And it's like, if you replayed it, it's like he grabbed his hand. You're gonna start in the NBA. You have 7 foot tall monsters throwing themselves at each other on every play. How do you put you? It's an impossible thing to officiate, even with replay. Now we're going to look at this.
So I want to make sure too, Jimmy. You said it's one per game.
I believe it's one coach's challenge per game per coach.
So okay. Why would you?
Vogel did it last night in the first quarter, 17-9.
Yep.
Okay. So what's dumber, the rule or Vogel doing it in the first quarter?
You wait till the last minute.
Absolutely. Wait till the fourth quarter in a big possession when you need a hoop or something, and a foul didn't get made, or you know what I mean.
So this is coming, by the way.
It could be that in the last 2 minutes of an NBA game, everything is reviewable by New Jersey, Secaucus.
Including fouls?
That I'm not sure of, but it could be possible.
Then I'll say the same thing I said in the NFL about the pass interference rule. Call it with 2.5 minutes to go. Throw it then. You know, throw the,
Why would you ever use it in the first quarter?
Right, exactly. Again, I think Vogel might be dumber than the actual rule. This is part of my concern with the Lakers, but that's an aside. Like, what type of jackass would use that challenge at 17-9 in an NBA game? Why not use it on the opening tip, you donkey? Like, that was the time to use it? What type of jackass would challenge a call to 4 minutes into an NBA game?
Can you imagine they're doing this? I mean, they being the league? That they're actually bringing replay to fouls in the NBA?
I'm convinced all these sports are just trying to ruin themselves and water down their product and hurt the product. It makes absolutely no sense.
Jimmy?
Isn't this the same type of baseball manager who, in the first inning, challenges whether a runner is out or safe at first base?
Yep, we're all just going to circumcise the mosquito every time down the floor.
It's getting worse.
Every pitch of every game, every down of every football game, every single time a guy goes over the blue line in hockey. Happened again last night to Patrice Bergeron.
Right.
Did you see this?
Right, I heard about this.
He did, and I blame him. I blame him because we're now 4 years into this, and if you bring that, the toe of your skate above the ice, the length of a credit card, or the width of a credit card, I should say, they're going to catch you. They're looking for it. And he's standing on the blue line as they enter the zone, and he crosses over. He does one of those crossover moves.
Right, it was a crossover stride.
To get going, and the crossover stride, his skate comes off the ice. 20 seconds later, a full 20 seconds later, after Toronto possessed the puck and had a chance to clear the puck, a full 20 seconds later, Pasternak scores, but Babcock challenges it. They find Patrice Bergeron was offsides because that crossover step brought his skate off the ice, and it is so asinine.
It is. It's stupid.
That is not a goal. It is just so ridiculous that is not a goal. But you're now 4 years into it. They're not going to change it back because we don't ever change anything back. It just gets worse. That's the first point. And the second point is, I blame Bergeron. You're 4 years into this now. You're not going to get away with that ever. Keep your skate on the ice because some nerd is up there watching and they're going to challenge it. So keep your skate on the ice.
I mean, I do. I hate it. At least now in the NHL, there's a consequence for it if you're wrong.
Correct.
Okay, so that I like. And I feel like that has really helped mitigate the problem. Because a couple of years ago, Mike, that was really bad. It was. It was asinine. You were getting all kinds of challenges with no repercussions for it. It was he almost had another one last night. The one I did see was Coyle kept his skate on the blue line on him.
Yeah.
Right? So look.
That's all yet. But
right.
You now have to do business as business is done.
It's gotten stupid. It really has. It has gotten absolutely positively stupid.
So now two giant 7 foot tall men are going to throw themselves at each other underneath the rim. And there's going to be contact all over the place with the game on the line. And they're going to go to replay. And we're going to look at this and see if there was a foul or not a foul. I'm going to try and figure this out.
I mean, I hate it. I can't tell you how much I hate it. And I'll tell you that I think it's worse than pass interference. Because in an NFL game, how many pass interference plays really?
No.
Do you get?
It's definitely worse.
Right? I mean, you get, I don't know. I don't want to put a number on it.
Anytime LeBron goes to the rim. Anytime Giannis goes to the rim.
Every trip down the floor.
Anytime anyone goes to the rim.
It's like holding in the NFL.
What are you doing? Yes, Stu.
So to be clear, the challengeable plays are a personal foul call on its own team, and that's any time during the game. So you should save it for your last 2 minutes in case there's an issue.
Well, last two possessions of the game.
No, no, unless you're Frank Vogel. Then you do it at 17-9. Seriously. That'd be my first question. Frank, I understand this new rule. What the hell prompted you to do it at 17-9? Wouldn't that be a trump card you can use later? Like, I'd be inclined to go into full, sort of a-hole mode in the press conference. What led you to make that donkey-ass decision at 17-9?
So, we can look this up. I think Nurse in Toronto challenged one as well last night. I don't know when it was, but look it up. It might have been in the first half, too.
So, also, out-of-bounds and goaltending basket interference plays are challengeable by the coach. Not in the last 2 minutes of regulation and in overtime, because I think that's all done in Secaucus, okay. New Jersey.
But the personal, you can challenge a personal foul anytime. Think of that. Think of that.
I'm telling you, my head is going to spin right off of my neck and shoulders today. It's going to spin right off and shoot into the air like a cork popping out of a bottle. That's what it's going to look like. The crap that's going on in sports now, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. This might qualify as the dumbest rule change in all of sports right now, this rule.
Telling you, it's just getting worse.
Challenging fouls in the NBA. What are we going to do next? Challenge balls and strikes in baseball?
Yes, too.
So Nick Nurse was the victim of this.
I see.
He lost a challenge in the first quarter and couldn't challenge Siakam getting fouled out in the fourth quarter.
Serves him right.
Yeah. Why are you challenging this in the first quarter?
Yeah, you stupid. You moron. In an NBA game, challenging a call in the first quarter. You should be fired for that, for crying out loud, if you ask me.
Okay, more clues on how you can win Patriots tickets at 4:30. You have to tell us what Freddie Kitten's is eating. What's bitten by kittens?
Yes, what's bitten by kittens? That's the name of it.
The next clue coming up next to win your tickets and your wonderful calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Okay, doing Celtics NBA preview. I think that the NBA world has grossly overlooked the Celtics, underrated them. And I just, again, like we did with the NHL and the Bruins season preview show, I looked at the power rankings and the Bruins were way up there. 3-2, 3-4. I'm like, good God, are they that good? Maybe they are. I don't know. As we've gotten into the season here a little bit. But I did the same thing with the Celtics. I looked at some preseason NBA power rankings. 11th, 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 13th, 4th team in the East. You know, ESPN, The Ringer, NBA.com, like some real places. The New York Post had you 13th, like the 6th team in the East, so that's the Post. But that I just feel like, no. And my overall thing is I just take a step back and I say, under Brad Stevens, They got better year after year after year. I don't have it in front of me, but they went from something like 25 wins to 40 wins to 48 wins to 50 to 55 wins, something like this in the first 5 years.
Went up every year, yeah.
And then last year happened. And what Kyrie happened, and that whole thing happened. Well, so now he's gone. They've lopped off the poison. Do they go back to being that thing they were before last year with the arrow pointed up, and that's the whole arc of this whole thing? And I think there's a chance of it, especially since LeBron's out of the conference, Kawhi Leonard's out of the conference, Kevin Durant is not yet in the conference, and I think the door is ajar here. And that's, I think they're going to contend to come out of the East. I think they're going to go to the East Finals and give that team, whoever it is, and they're going to go at least six games in the Eastern Conference Finals. I even bet them to win it at plus 650. So that's the kind of year I think we're looking at.
Okay, so again, take last year out of it for a second. Okay, just take last year out of it. Let's go back to the arc you were talking about.
Yes, sir.
They were up to 55 wins. So that's going to keep going up?
So I don't know if it's plus 55, but they'll be in that range. They'll be in the range of 55 wins.
Okay, I would take the under on that, me personally. And I just think that sooner or later, you plateau.
Their OU in Vegas, I think, is 49.5 or 50?
I think that's right.
So I'm over 50, and I think they're going to sniff 55 wins.
So I would go under on the 49.5. I think you're right. I think it was 49.5. So I would go under there. And all I'm saying is this, that eventually you plateau. You just hit your ceiling. And I would argue that 2 years ago when Kyrie was hurt, they went beyond their ceiling, which I think is really rare in that league, but some things broke in their favor.
I think they did that consistently, you know, before Kyrie got here.
Yeah, I just think that their ceiling now is, again, I think they've plateaued. That group, that sort of Brad Stevens model, that's the ceiling. Second round, basically. That's it.
Okay, your thoughts on this. Here's Wayne in Yarmouth. Hi, Wayne.
Well, we just, you've covered so much of it, but I don't understand the stubbornness that Maz is showing relative to the impact of losing the venom of Kyrie and how much that affected the team. It doesn't have anything to do with, you know, character or anything else. It has to do with all the team playing together and making things happen. With him, they couldn't do it. I think they come back strong, back to that 54, 55 level. I don't see why you can't see that, Maz.
So, Wayne, again, I'm not disputing that they will play better together. And they'll be more enjoyable to watch. And last year's team didn't play together. I've never argued that point singularly. I don't think their ceiling is as high.
Part of this does go back to the, it's just, because it's the way it works in the league. You're right. It's hard to compute that you would be better without your best player. It's just, it almost never works that way in that league. I know. But I think that's what you're looking at here. And I think that's, it's counterintuitive in that league especially. To lose your best player and get better. But I think Kyrie was a special case.
Yeah, so, but again, when you say better, we're talking about the win total. Or that maybe they'll go,
They'll be a better team at the end of the year. And that'll show in the results. They'll win more games. They'll go farther in the playoffs. That's what I mean by better.
Yeah, that's not how I define better.
Anyway, how would you define it then?
How close you are to a championship. That's how I define it.
Well, no, but it feels like a paper argument. I mean, you're better if you win more games and go farther in the playoffs.
Yeah, but that league is a pass-fail league. I know it sucks, and I know that in some ways the discussion is we'll take pass-fail out of it. Like, let's say you're grading on a scale.
So you don't think they'll be better than last year?
I don't think they're closer to a championship than they were a year ago.
Different answer.
I mean, but that's how I define it. Like, to me, you're either winning a champion, threatening a championship, or you're not. Last year, I think they had the capacity to threaten for a championship.
Well, boy,
they didn't reach it, but they had the capacity. This year, they don't.
Well, did they blow it last year? The door was ajar.
Big time.
You got into the finals, and Golden State's all banged up.
And as it relates to last year, it absolutely was that PUD's fault. So I'm not sitting here defending the PUD, because that's what he was.
George in the car, thoughts?
Hey, so two quick points that intertwine with each other. So with Kemba, I don't know why all these green teamers just assuming everything is going to be good chemistry-wise. He's never dealt with this many egos. He played in Charlotte. And then going into Kyrie, everything he said last year was correct. The only problem I had with him was speaking out on it. So me being a Celtics fan, there's a little part of me that hopes that the Nets make the playoffs and Kyrie takes a dump on the leprechaun. All these young brats.
Well, but George, this is fair. You know, I'm assuming that the culture is going to be better and their character is going to be better, but it's no guarantee. A big issue last year, you hear, listen to all these guys, is the run that Stevens gave to Gordon Hayward. And the team didn't think that he was worthy of that. And when I say team, I mean Brown and Tatum. There's still redundancy there. And so that's still that thing still has to work itself out. So I'm just assuming it's going to be better, but I'm not. It's no guarantee.
Right, and the Kemba Walker thing, too. It's always been strictly about him in Charlotte. I mean, the best players he's had, Al Jefferson, Nick Batum, now he's going to be expected to share the ball and facilitate, and he's never really done that.
All fair.
I'm worried about Kemba. I am. I just worry that Kemba's not what everyone thinks he is, and, you know, he's a knockoff version of Kyrie, and I'm not sure he is that. Yeah, but you want me to focus on something good that came out of the Kyrie thing? Jaylen Brown did resign. Like, I had my doubts. What if these guys don't even want to be here? What if they want to go to the Miamis and the LAs? And Jaylen Brown signed.
What do you think about that contract, Mass?
So, look, I think that they overpaid him, and I think they know they overpaid him. But I think that they recognize that he had the most leverage, which is to say that he had the capacity to dip his toe into the market next summer, that there aren't going to be many players to do that, and there are teams out there with a ton of salary cap space.
So you're saying next offseason, there are not many, and even if he's restricted, the only right you have is to match.
Correct.
And there's no compensation or anything like that.
I think that's right.
So,
again, you know the rules. You might know the rules better than I do. I don't know what all the rules are in free agency in that league.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Right to match.
Right to match is all you get. But there's still rights there, and you're saying there's going to be a lot of teams with available cap space next year and not a big free agent class.
Right, which is why I think all the guys in this class all ended up with pretty good deals because they're all going to hit the market and there isn't much talent out there. And for example, a team like Atlanta, I think, is going to have a truckload of cap space.
$78 million.
So like a huge, huge number. And isn't he from there? Isn't Brown from Atlanta?
Sure.
Or some of that area. So I think the Celtics looked at it and said, if you know, we're going to have to pay him now or pay him later. We're better off paying him now. And look, the fact that he was willing to do it, I think, is a good sign. So if you look at it and say the poison's been removed, well, maybe because of that, now Jaylen Brown says, fine, I'll stay.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good thing.
Scott and Weymouth, your thoughts on the replay?
Hello?
Hi, Scott. You're on.
What's up, guys? All right, amazing how you pick up right after I take a bite of my sandwich. Okay. I hate replay in all sports, especially hockey. Nothing gets my goat more than that offsides call. We're going to talk a 16th of an inch is going to decide a goal. If it's that close, let it go and let the human element take over. Why even have refs anymore, Felga? Why not just have robots and computers watch the game? I can't stand it, and I can't wait for Bitten by Kittens at 4:30.
Okay. I'll give you another clue here in a second. It's one thing, you know, again, the offside, 60 feet from the net, 20 seconds before you score. I mean, it's just patently absurd.
With all that time running off, it feels like completely unfair, really. The Bruins were pissed, and rightfully so.
Well, no, they are. They should be pissed at Bergeron. They call it every time. Do you not know the rule? Do you not know how it goes in that league? If you take your toe off the ice coming over the blue line, they're going to get you. You have to, and there was no reason for him to cross over like that, knowing the rule. He didn't gain any advantage by that. So I put it on him. It's a stupid, stupid rule, but it's 4 years on the books. That's how they're calling it. Keep your skate on the ice. That's on him. Sorry. This what we're talking about here with the NBA is totally different. How in the world are you going to fairly call NBA fouls on replay?
Impossible. Because let's face it, on non-foul calls, and I know those in theory aren't under review, right? But there's contact all the time.
Oh.
I mean, there is. And sometimes there's a foul called on a play where there's very little contact. And we say, well, there shouldn't have been a foul there. That wasn't enough. And now that's going to be reviewed. It's stupid.
So
it's asinine.
And my fear is that, you know, it's a gateway drug. In other words, it's an entree into more replay because all these things are always sort of, we're going to experiment with this for a year. The replay on pass interference in the league is a trial year. This is a trial. When do they ever go back on the trial? The trial almost always becomes permanent. The extra point was a trial, then they made it permanent. They almost, whatever rule change they have that they make a trial, almost always becomes permanent, and then always is an entree to even more rules.
Yeah, they graduate to the hard stuff.
Exactly. It's a gateway drug. So you get ready.
I like this.
Get ready. All this stuff.
I'll tell you what, though. I'm starting to wonder, maybe we're at that point where the trial, you run the other way. Because I wonder if pass interference calls are going to get taken out next year.
We'll see. That'd be a rarity. Meanwhile, we have free Patriots tickets to give away at 4:30 for Patriots-Browns. But we're making you work for it. Murray, you just want to explain real quick?
Right. We've given you the phrase that pays. The Patriots ticket fugitive. Today, we want people to play what's been bitten by kittens. Again, Patriots-Browns on Sunday. Browns head coach Freddie Kittens, not a good coach, very portly man. But he can't remember what he's eating. He can describe what he's eating. He doesn't know what it's called. We've already given you a couple of clues. You got to keep listening for clues like this one.
Oh, it's got that gooey cheese. I like the gooey cheese. Oh, that's delicious.
So you got to keep listening for the clues and then call at 4:30 and tell us what's been bitten by kittens.
Do we get to repeat what the clues have been so far?
Like, do you remember them, Maz? Do you know what they are?
Yes, I do.
What are they?
Well, like the first one.
Beans.
Yep.
Rice.
And what was that one?
Gooey cheese.
Okay. Oh, so keep listening. Don't. Shh. It's for the people, not you.
Well, I know. I'm going to take another guess, though.
Well, don't.
How about arroz con pollo?
Well, again, you're going to have to keep listening for what's been bitten by kittens at 4:30.
Have you ever had that? That's good.
The very first one had another clue in it as well, Jimmy. Just play the first one so people.
The first one again. Okay, let's hear the first one again from Freddie Kittens.
What do we got here? It's all self-contained. Ooh, it tastes like beans. There's beans in here.
Self-contained.
So there's another clue, and I just wanted you to get that.
I didn't catch that the first
time. Okay, well, Paul Perrault is going to be in at 4 o'clock. We do have some Patriots items to get to, including Tom Brady's future. There is no more important story as it relates to the Patriots. We'll give you some updated thoughts on that right after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, let's just boil this down to the basic facts. Once again, when we talk about Tom and his future, let's look at some simple things. Has he put his home for sale?
Yeah, but...
Hold on, Steve. Has he put his home for sale? Yes. Has his trainer put his home for sale? Yes. Has he set up his contract to void after the season to become a free agent? Yes. So if he's selling his home and his trainer's selling his home and he's voiding his contract, what does that tell you?
So Adam Schefter, again, who had said this in the past, which I think even gives it more weight. Adam Schefter has drawn these lines before. Months ago, when Brady's house went on the market, Schefter said, whoa, I've seen this before. Athlete puts his house on the market, puts his kids in school somewhere, buys a house somewhere else. That usually means something. He said this 2 months ago, and he said, just look at what LeBron did with LA. And he says, it's the writing's on the wall usually with these things. And he said that 2 months ago. And the fact that he said it again, almost doubled down 2 months later on national TV tells me that no one told him he was wrong the first time. So it even gives it more weight. He's not just, you know, Adam's not the guy to throw it against the wall anyway. But if he was throwing it against the wall 2 months ago, someone would have come to him and said, Adam, he's not going anywhere, you know. So I think that gave him more weight. So this morning, Brady does his radio interview down the street and gave what I thought was a totally different answer than what he's usually been given here about his future. So he's asked about his future and how much longer and this whole topic. And he says, I think that's the great part for me. I don't know. I think that's been a unique situation that I've been in. I think when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. For me, it's been good because I'm just taking it day by day and I'm enjoying what I have. I don't know what the future holds. And the great part for me, football at this point is all borrowed time. End quote. Wow. I think for the most part, pretty much every time he's answered this question, it's been,
I'd like to play to 45.
Absolutely.
Mid-40s, and then we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He's never given us the day-by-day thing. He's never given us the you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. He's almost always given, you know, nothing specific, but in general terms, I want to play into my 40s and then decide from there. And I love this game, and I want to keep playing it for a long time. That's what he's always said. And so this morning, I think, is a little bit of a sea change for him.
Yeah, and there's another thing in that comment that, to me, stuck out. And I don't know whether you read it the same way I did or not. But when he says, when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years.
So can I stop you?
Yeah.
Because I think this is easy to piece together.
Oh.
So first of all, let me just give an example of what I think, how Brady's answered this question before this. And this is from his Facebook series, the Deepak Chopra thing, where he's asked about his shelf life and how long he wants to play. And I think, you know, I think Giselle is standing in the other room listening. So he lowers his voice because he doesn't want her to hear how long he wants to play. But I think this is what it usually sounds like when he's asked this question.
Once you stop, you're done. I still like feel there's things to accomplish. And I've had an opportunity based on all the things that have happened in the last 12 years of my life, you know, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it.
I would love to play 5 more years. I'd love to play 41, 42, 43, 44, 45. It would be a challenge for me. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think 35, 36, 37, 38 was easy either. It's going to be hard to do. But I think I can do it.
Okay, so even just a couple years ago, he's saying 5 more years, 41, 42, 43, 44. And I think he lowers his voice because G is standing right up.
What?
In the other. But I think that's been a pretty standard answer, right? But today he says.
Day by day.
Day by day. And this is borrowed time. Now, the other thing Maz hit on is that when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years, you want to you feel the responsibility is to always fulfill the contract. He did give a different-ish kind of answer once that I remember, and it speaks to this. This is with Jim Gray during some sort of Rich Boy conference, you know, that he was a speaker for.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
The thing up at Salem?
Nope, this was in California, I think. I don't remember where it was, but it was some sort of, you know, billionaires
institute
conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, some sort of thing like this, where Brady gets paid $1 million to go sit there with Gray and be interviewed. And this was in the offseason after the Eagles' Super Bowl loss. So this was the summer of 2018 or the spring of 2018. This is in the same interview where, when we played this on, where Brady says famously, yeah, Malcolm Butler kept coming up to me on the sidelines, and I kept saying, what defense are we in where you're not on the field? Yeah. You know, it was this part of this interview. But so this topic comes up during this conference in the summer of 18. Answer it, Jimmy.
You want to keep doing this through your mid-40s?
Yeah. I do. I've talked 2 years with my wife. I've negotiated that thus far. I still got a few.
Okay, so there you go. That was in the summer of 2018. He had, at that time, 2 years left to go on his contract. The 2018 season, the 2019 season. And he says this morning, when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years, you feel like it's your responsibility to always fulfill the contract. So this was his last committed contracted year. That's something he referenced 2 years ago. So doesn't it all add up where Giselle is like, Tom, you need to pick up the kids. We need you with the kids. We need you to pull your weight. Come on, Tom, hang out with the kids. And he's like, good. Can you give me 2 more years? I'm under contract for 2 more years. Because Giselle probably thinks the contracts are binding and real, like in her world. Right. A contract's a contract. Yeah. She doesn't realize in football they're worth
it. Not worth the paper they're written on.
The cocktail napkin next to me, Bedard. But so he can get Giselle to buy the fact that he's under contract for 2 more years. So I negotiated 2 more years. So he gets to the beginning of the second year. What do? Put their house on the market, start looking somewhere else, because that's the commitment to Giselle. That we're done after this year. And so it just all sort of adds up. Is that what you were going to say?
Well, no. What I was going to say is he wanted a multi-year deal this year, and they wouldn't give him one. And so now it's, you know, if you give me the contract, I'll commit. I'm playing to 45.
I've heard others bring this up. And let's hit on this next. Is Brady leveraging the team for a deal? Is he posturing for a deal? We'll pick that up on the other side with another clue on how you can win free Patriots tickets right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
You want to keep doing this through your mid-40s?
Yeah, I do. I've talked 2 years with my wife. I've negotiated that thus far. I still got a little further to go. You know, she's I have a great wife and great partner in life. And, you know, she's a mom, and she sees me, and she wants to protect me. And football's a violent sport. I mean, guys, every day is I'm retiring because of this and that, and you see people injured. And, you know, she has two boys, so she's doesn't want those boys to get injured and play football. It's hard for them. It's hard for my parents to sit up there and watch me, you know, take hits. And, you know, when I tell them and I come home and I said, look, I got hit in the head, or I got, you know, broke this or tore this. I mean, that's hard for people that love you to go, hey, keep doing it, you know. Get back out there. Let's rub a little dirt on it and get back out there and play. So I think those things, she's like, you know, look, take care. You're in great health. Take care of yourself. And I said, I take care of myself better than anybody. You know, like I feel like I do. So, you know, she's very supportive. And you know, again, mid-40s would be my goal. As long as I'm still playing at a very high level, and that requires a lot of effort, and that's the effort I want to put into it.
Yeah, settle down, Jim.
I got a little excited there, honey.
It's kind of laugh you have when you're like a kid and you're getting tickled.
Get back out there. Let's rub a little dirt on it and get back out there and play. So I think those things.
Oh, I need to calm down, Tom. That's on stage in front of people.
Yep, uh-huh. Jim Gray, freaking enamored.
I still got a few.
But anyway, so there he says, I negotiated 2 more years with G. So that's a factor. We just know that's a factor. But he also said, I want to play to my mid-40s. He's always answered that. Yet today, he says day-to-day. So what did you want to hit on with that?
No, so my point is that he says when you have a contract, you always want to honor the contract. I think before the year, he wanted a contract. And they didn't want to give him one, or they couldn't agree on one. And so his attitude becomes, well, I'm not just going to go year to year. I'm not going to do that. My wife wants me to quit. And so why would I go year to year? I'm not at a stage, you know, I'm not someone who should have to prove myself on an annual basis. You either commit to me or you don't. If you don't, I'm done.
Okay, so back to this now. Do you think this is posturing for a contract? Posturing?
No, at the moment, right now, no.
I don't think it is either.
No, but I think that before the year, you know, say I read this differently than you did. Again, he says, when you commit to a team for a certain amount of years, you kind of feel like your possibilities to your responsibilities to always fulfill the contract. Well, the same is true in the reverse, right? I mean, the team commits to you for a certain amount of years. So this offseason, they didn't want to commit to him. They didn't want to do that. And he says, okay, well, they don't want to commit. Maybe I don't either. Maybe this is it.
So
that's what I think he's saying.
I just take this on the face that this could be his last year, and his comments reflect that. I do not think he's playing some leverage game, or he had Adam Schefter play him some leverage. If he was leveraging the team, you know what he would say? I'm locked and loaded for at least 3-4 more years. I've said 45, and I'm sticking to that. That hasn't changed. And now he's putting on the table, I'm playing. I don't know if you want me or not, or where it's going to be, but I'm playing. And if he were posturing, that's what he would say. I don't think I haven't heard it, but it sounds to me like he's just reflecting as it is.
Yeah, I'm going back to what happened during the offseason. That's what I'm saying, is that if he had a contract, he'd say right now, I'm playing. They didn't give him one, so maybe he's going to walk. I think Tom Brady's saying, I'm not going year to year. I'm not doing that.
Well, so that's the fact. I mean, I do believe that. I don't know if he's saying that in these comments, but I do believe that. If they had paid him, if they had given the Drew Brees contract 2 years, $60 million guaranteed for the next 2 years, he'd still be here.
I mean, I think he would have taken it.
Yeah, me too.
So that's what I take out of it, is that during the offseason, they got to a point where the team said, we're not comfortable doing that anymore. And Tom said, you're not comfortable doing it? I'm not comfortable staying beyond this year.
Should the team do it?
No.
No, I'm with you. If I'm the team, I'm not doing it.
But I don't blame him feeling the way he feels. Like, if I'm Tom Brady, so to me, this is sort of, again, and he said it during the offseason. He said, we're in uncharted waters. So he got to a stage where he said, we just won another Super Bowl. You know, I'm up for a contract like I always am all the time, and typically you extend me right now. And the team said, we don't want to do that. Well, Tom said, well, then forget it. We're done.
Right. So on this level, like, I'm rooting for him, like where I'm sitting here in my talk show chair, I'm rooting for him to finally ball up when it comes to a contract and tell the team no and leverage the team, and like, because I just want to see the drama of that. And I think it'd be a great story, an interesting story, that after taking it from the team for 20 years to finally turn around here at the very last and say, pay me or I'm gone. I think that's just an interesting story. So like, on that level, I'd be rooting for it. But now if I'm telling you what the team should do, I'm not paying them.
No, they shouldn't. I mean, again, it just, you know, the reality is what it is, whether you believe in TB12 or not. He's 42. He'll be 43 next August. At some point, you're just going to say the math doesn't work anymore.
And I'm telling you, I'm still big on the fact that I want Bill picking the next guy and Bill bringing the next guy into the world. And the longer Brady stays, the more likely it is, or the chances increase, that Bill's not the guy doing it.
So my question is, I would like to know how far back they knew this. Like, I mean, all involved parties, Brady, Belichick, the Krafts, like the idea of, you know, Tom, this is probably going to be the last multi-year deal you get. When did he know that? Because to me, and I go back to.
Wouldn't it be right before he put his house on the market?
Well, but they drafted Stidham this year, right?
No, he was this year.
Right, it was 2019. Yeah. So did they know back at the end of the season that they weren't going to, you know, did Tom already know they weren't going to give him another multi-year deal?
What does it matter? I don't get it.
Because if they knew there was a possibility of Tom walking, then they had to draft a quarterback because it wasn't going to be Danny Etling.
So you think that Stidham was really a target, like as the next guy, not just a flyer?
I'm wondering. That's what I'm asking.
Was it fourth round? I don't know. It feels like a tweener.
So again, I'm just asking. I'm not telling you I know. I'm not giving you any, this is what my theory is. I'm just saying I would like to know when they knew.
Yeah.
I want to know what the timeline is. Because to me, again,
well, I think the team was never going to pay him. I don't think it was ever close.
Okay, but come back to the other thing. Did Brady want a multi-year deal?
Yes.
So he wanted to keep playing.
Well, he wanted the multi-year deal. Yes. He wanted that. He wanted the big deal.
Right? I mean, without the contract, he's not going to play. Okay. And so
his hand's been forced, really?
Yeah, I just think that he's sort of saying, okay, if you're not going to commit to me, I'm going to retire. I wanted to play till I'm 45. Don't blame me, but they didn't want to do it that way, so I'm out.
Entirely plausible.
Yeah, and
I think that's right.
Yeah, and I understand it from his point of view. I do, because if you're Tom Brady, you're like, you got to be kidding me. First, you make me play for incentives. Now I got to go year to year. Like, I got to do this like I'm some sort of second-year player in the league. You're going to cut my ass?
So, Maz, I agree with everything you just said, because that's what I think. If I first of all, I think anything's possible. I think he stays. I think he could retire. I think he could go play somewhere else. But you know, you asked me yesterday, pick one. And retirement, to me, would be the leader in the clubhouse. So I agree with you. And the retirement is, if you're not going to commit to me, then, you know, what's the point? Good time to pack it in. Okay? And that's what's going to be. However, if you think he's leveraging them, though, if he really wanted to leverage them.
Yeah, I don't think he's leveraging them.
He would say, nothing's changed. I'm playing to my mid-40s.
I feel great.
And then what you're doing is you're putting it all on them, and now you're really putting the possibility of playing somewhere else on the table. I don't think he did that.
No, I think what he's doing.
I think he put retirement on the table.
Yeah, I think what he's doing is he's telling you how we ended up here. Like, that's how I look at it. How did we end up here? And Brady's saying, well, when you have a multi-year deal, you feel compelled to play through it. And the unsaid part of that is I don't have a multi-year deal. Like, that's how I look at it.
I gotcha.
So I think he got to this point and said, don't blame me for the fact that we're in the last year of the contract.
Well, luckily,
that wasn't my choice.
Luckily, we have a member of the Patriots organization standing by to answer for this.
Ah.
So we have that. We also have a member of the Patriots organization standing by who can answer to Michael Bennett, who spoke to the media today and said some interesting things. Not necessarily good things if you're looking for a long and happy marriage between Michael Bennett and the New England Patriots. So that's coming up. We're also giving away Patriots tickets, but you need to work for it. You need to tell us what Kittens is eating. What is it again?
Well, how about this? You know, our production team here at the Sports Hub worked so hard on this contest promo, Mike. Why don't we play it again to help explain the rules, huh? Let's hear it again.
Felger and Maz, the show that brought you the phrase that pays and the Patriots ticket fugitive.
I took the tickets.
Now wants to send you to see the Patriots pound the Browns.
Ooh, kinky.
If you want to win, all you've got to do is be listening for What's Been Bitten by Kittens. Cleveland Browns head coach Freddie Kittens is a big fat oaf who loves to eat. But
it's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.